Would you say that you're a good person? It's a rhetorical question, no need to answer. It's a bit vague and can be interpreted any number of ways, but consider how you'd answer it. Do you think that you are a good person? Are you morally good? Ask the average person on the street, and they would almost certainly say, yes, absolutely. Of course I am a good person. It may be the same for many in the church, but to those listening carefully to our gospel reading, Jesus gives a very different perspective, doesn't he? No one is good except God alone. No one is good except God alone. God is the standard of goodness. God is omnibenevolent, all good. So are we at God's standard? Are we good people? On this measure, unless we are completely delusional, we must concede. No. We are not perfect like God. We are not good like God. As the Apostle Paul writes, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. This includes me. Sorry to say, this includes you. I'm sure for many of you this isn't news, but for some of you this may come as a surprise, maybe even a shock. Pastor Matt is saying I'm not a good person. How dare he? Well, in my defense, it's not me saying this. It's Jesus. These are his words. This is his assessment. No one is good except God alone. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you have no value or dignity. He put his image in you. You are created in the image of God. Your life is so precious, so valuable to God. He loves you more than you even realize. So please don't doubt for a second whether God loves you. He does. But are you a morally good person? No. Is our failure to be good? Is this going to be a barrier for us to enter the kingdom of God? Well, let's find out. In our passage today, we have a very, very good person by worldly standards. His story is told in three of the four Gospels. All three Gospels tell us that he is wealthy or rich. Luke's Gospel tells us this man is a ruler, most likely the ruler of a synagogue, not a rabbi or a Pharisee or a priest, but an influential layperson. Matthew's Gospel tells us that this man is young. Obviously, he's a high achiever and has climbed social ranks. This rich young ruler, he's gifted, blessed, and religious. We also see that he's humble and sincere in the way that he honors Jesus. Despite his wealth and reputation and position, he runs, he bows, and he honors Jesus. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He's a deep thinker, concerned about life's most important questions. He knows his Old Testament. He knows the Jewish hope of everlasting life in God's kingdom. And he's seeking assurances that he too will possess it. Jesus answers the rich young ruler, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." The man responds, "Teacher, all these I have kept since I was a boy." Now, we may be tempted to think that he is a bit arrogant at this point, a bit full of himself. Jesus lists the second half of the Ten Commandments, and he's like, "Yeah, no worries, I've done all that." Personally, I can't make such a claim, and knowing most of you, I know none of you can make that claim either. You were meant to laugh there. Nevertheless, this is the testimony of the rich young ruler. "All these commandments I have kept since I was a boy." Is he right? Is he telling the truth? Well, Mark presents this man as sincere and genuine. Like the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, who blamelessly kept the law, this rich young ruler is probably an exemplary moral Jew. Notice how Jesus responds in verse 21. He doesn't correct him or roll his eyes or accuse him of lying. No, it says that Jesus looks at him and loves him. Jesus isn't usually this gentle with self-righteous hypocrites. We've seen how he deals with the Pharisees and the experts in the law, but this young man Jesus loves. There's a sincerity and earnestness about him that moves the heart of Christ. By the standards of this world, this rich young ruler is a very good person. He's gifted, financially blessed, religious. He largely keeps the law. He's humble. He's sincere. He even bows and honors Jesus. Surely he's done enough to inherit, to possess, to earn eternal life. If anyone has, surely it's this man. This is how so many people think Christianity works. To receive eternal life, to gain entrance into heaven, to earn one's place in God's kingdom, we must be good. Good people go to heaven. And of course, those who believe this also believe that they are good, and therefore they too will receive eternal life in God's glory. Friends, I hear this all the time when I'm planning funerals. Mavis, Frank, Grandma, Grandpa, whoever it is, they were a good person. And so they are in heaven. Friends, it must be the most misunderstood aspect of the entire Christian faith. I've been baptized, come to church, and served as a warden even. I give money to charity. I'm a friendly person. I help others. I don't steal. I haven't killed anyone. I've been faithful to my spouse. I'm a good person. I'm a religious person. Of course I will have eternal life. So many people think that this is how Christianity works. But it simply isn't true. It isn't biblical. It isn't what Jesus teaches. Just before the rich young ruler, Jesus demonstrates how it is that we can receive eternal life. It's not by being a good person. There's no one good. There is no one good except God alone. It's by being like a child. In verses 13 to 16, people bring little children to Jesus for his blessing. The disciples rebuke them and try to stop this. Jesus is far too busy and far too important to waste time on these kids. But Jesus is indignant. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. And then what does he say? For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Very early this morning, I hear my boy cry out. I run to his room on the other side of the house. It's pitch dark. We forgot to turn his nightlight on. So Levi wakes up and he's afraid. I turn the nightlight on, I assure him, comfort him, and he goes back to sleep. Do you see? Children are helpless and trusting. And Jesus says, unless you become like a little child, helpless and trusting, you will not receive the kingdom of God. For salvation, eternal life, entering God's kingdom, it's a matter of grace, not our good works. It's a free, unmerited gift from God, and like the children, we receive it by trusting in Jesus. These little children are brought to Jesus with nothing in their hands, and they receive Jesus' blessing and commendation. What about the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus with status and property and possessions, who appears so good and so religious on so many levels? He comes to Jesus. Does he receive eternal life? Does he inherit it as well? Well, what does Jesus say to him? Verse 21, one thing you lack. One thing. Eternal life in God's kingdom will be yours. You just need one thing. The children didn't lack anything. They just came to Jesus with open hands. So what could it be? What is this one thing that he lacks? Jesus, tell me. I must know. There is nothing more important to me than this. One thing you lack. Go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then come, follow me. Come and follow me. This sincere, humble, moral, religious, gifted, apparently good young man runs up to Jesus desperately seeking eternal life. Jesus tells him how to receive it. Leave your wealth and follow me. It's a question of trust. Will the rich young ruler become like a little child? Tragically, he won't. He can't. And verse 22 is just devastating to read. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Dismayed, the rich young ruler turns his back on Jesus and walks away. The children come to Jesus with nothing but simple faith, and they walk away with everything. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus with everything except a simple faith, and he walks away with nothing. The price to follow Jesus and gain eternal life is just too high for him. He chooses money in this life over treasure in heaven. He loves his wealth more than he loves God. The truth is, wealth is his God. It is his idol. As good and sincere, as religious as this man appears, he is breaking even the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No one is good except God alone. But friends, what about us? What are we trusting in and believing in? Are we trusting in our own goodness? I will be good enough to get into heaven? Or are we trusting in the goodness of Jesus? Is there anything holding us back from following Jesus? Jesus doesn't require all his disciples to sell everything. This isn't a general command for all people. It's a specific command to this rich young ruler because it exposes the idols of his heart. But what about you? What might be holding you back from following and trusting in Jesus? Is it your comfort in this life? Reputation? Family with relationship with family? Maybe it is your job or your obsession with sex or alcohol. Maybe it is wealth and possessions, just like this young man. Friends, give it up. Remember the little children. Only empty hands will be filled. Empty hands will be filled. Whatever stands between you and Jesus, give it up and follow him, no matter how much it costs you, because surely nothing is worth more than eternal life. As the rich young ruler walks away from Jesus, Jesus looks around to those who are following him and says in verse 23, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples are simply amazed at this. They thought wealth was a sign of God's blessing on them. But Jesus repeats for emphasis, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus, again, is using hyperbole. He points to a camel, the largest animal in the Middle East. For our context, maybe it would be an elephant. And says, it is easier to push one of these big animals through the eye of a needle than for the rich to inherit eternal life in God's kingdom. This is because wealth has such a grip on the human heart. It's impossible for the wealthy to let go of their riches and to cling on to Christ. I know there are rich people in our church. And if we're honest, if we consider where we live and the lifestyle we enjoy, we have to admit that all of us are rich compared to the rest of the world. All of us are rich compared to most of those living in the time of Jesus. Jesus is talking about us. Does this make you feel uncomfortable? Because it should. It makes the disciples uncomfortable. Amazed, they say to each other in verse 26, who then can be saved? Jesus looks at them and says, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Left to our own devices, our salvation is simply impossible. It can't be done. We cannot save ourselves, but God can. And in love, in mercy, in grace, God does. When we become like a child and trust in Jesus, we are saved. Jesus' disciples have simple trust and faith of a child. He addresses them, Jesus addresses them as children in verse 24. And as Peter says in verse 28, "Jesus, we have left everything to follow you." Friends, it's a scary thought to leave everything and follow Jesus. Wow. It's easy for children because they don't really have much to lose. But for adults like us, there's a cost. There is a sacrifice to following Jesus. And we can start doubting, is it really worth it? Is it really worth putting Jesus above everything else in our life? Jesus says, yes, absolutely it is worth it. Truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields, no one who has left these things for me or for the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. When we put ourselves first, like the rich young ruler, we end up coming last. But when we put ourselves last, like the little children with simple trust in Jesus, then we become first. In this life, we receive untold blessings in the family of God, and in the life to come, eternal blessings in the kingdom of God. The idea of leaving everything to follow Jesus is scary, but if we trust him and just do it, Jesus will surely bless us and save us. When I was younger, my parents took us kids to the United States for a holiday, for an experience. And of course, we went to New York. And one of the sights that you see in New York is the Empire State Building. It's one of the tallest buildings in the world. And we were to go up the top of it and see the view. I still vividly remember the streets of New York with my dad, and we were looking for it. And Dad stops me at the entrance of just one of these skyscrapers in New York. "Matt, look up. Just look how high that building is. It's incredible. It is mind-bogglingly high." Well, we're still looking for the Empire State Building. So Dad asks the doorman of the building that we were just admiring, "Excuse me, can you tell us the direction to the Empire State Building?" The doorman looks confused, even comical. "Sir, you're standing right under it. It's just here." We were looking at the Empire State Building and we didn't even realize it. Imagine a visitor came in here today and they came up to me and said, "Good teacher, please tell me where I can find Pastor Matt." You're looking right at him. The rich young ruler comes up to Jesus seeking eternal life. Little does he know, he stares eternal life in the face. Little does he know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But instead of following Jesus, he turns his back and walks away. Maybe he goes looking for another rabbi. Perhaps he can find another way to inherit eternal life, hoping that there might be an easier option into God's kingdom like so many people do today. It's this incredible sliding doors moment. If this young man had just listened, if he had just trusted and followed Jesus, he would have learnt about the sin in his heart and he would have discovered that God alone is good, and that includes God's Son, Jesus Christ. He would have followed Jesus into Jerusalem and watched as he is arrested and condemned to death. This young man would have followed Jesus up Calvary, and he would have been there and witnessed Jesus hanging on a cross for the sin of the world. If he had just followed Jesus and become one of his disciples, he would have been there on Easter Sunday with the others and would have been a witness of Jesus' victorious resurrection. If he had just listened and trusted and followed Jesus, everything would have been different for this rich young ruler. He would have seen with his own eyes how he could inherit eternal life. Jesus, the Savior of the world. But alas, he doesn't trust Jesus. He doesn't follow Jesus. And he doesn't enter the kingdom of God. Friend, what about you? What about you? Will you come to Jesus as a little child, trusting him with empty hands, seeking his blessings? When Jesus calls, will you leave everything to follow him? For this and this alone is how we inherit eternal life. No one is good except God alone. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Learn from the children. Trust and follow Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, when Jesus calls us to come and follow him, it's a scary prospect knowing that Jesus went to the cross and suffered. And for us to follow Jesus, there is a cost, there is a sacrifice involved, and that can be scary. But Father, we ask that you help us to trust Jesus. Remind us that it is worth it to follow him, even though it hurts sometimes. Remind us that it is only through Jesus that we can inherit eternal life and enter God's kingdom. Father, teach us the lesson of the children, to come to you with empty hands, knowing that you alone are good and that you alone save. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.